Alrighty. As Brady just said, for the last several months, we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit. Today, we are on the seventh fruit, which is faith. When Brady asked me to share this morning, I immediately went back and listened to everyone else's teachings to see, you know, how they went about presenting their fruits of the Spirit to you guys. And I wanted to do something a little different. So I looked up how many times faith appears in the Bible. And the word faith shows up in the Bible 231 times. So today, we are going to go look at each and every one of those. Let's start with the first mention in Deuteronomy 32:20.
But then we got a lot of food.
I didn't know what kind of reaction I would get, but at least now I know you guys are awake. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit of faith, you first have to understand the context of the chapter, which is Paul writing to the Galatians, a group of churches comprised of Gentile believers who had already responded to Paul's proclamation that of the gospel, which they had received by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. I'm not actually going to Galatians, Deuteronomy. I was just messing. I was trying to get a rise. Make sure everybody was awake. Sorry. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, which is why faith is the seventh fruit that we are talking about, not the first. I got hung up on this when Brady asked me because I was thinking, well, without faith, none of the other fruits would even matter. I was focused on the subject and not the context. These people were already saved. So when speaking in faith in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, we have to look at it as in the context of like living it out, living faith rather than the saving faith. So I'm going to read the Galatians 5:16 through 25, just where we've been at for the last several months, and then I'll pray and we'll get into it. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for just the opportunity to get up here and just share what you've showed me in your word, God. I just pray that you bless this time that we all have together. I pray that you just set me aside and just use me as a mouthpiece to convey what you want to show these men. I just pray that the rest of our days are blessed and that we can all go out of here with our cup a little bit fuller. I just ask all this in your name. Amen. So where I actually will be starting is in James chapter 2. If you'll turn with me there. I'm going to be in verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So at the moment of salvation, you can choose to never do another thing for God ever again. And you're still going to go to heaven. But how do people really know that you're saved? You see, you know, and God knows, but how do other people actually know that you're saved? And then we're going to look at verse 18. It says, "Yea, a man say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." We also know that our works aren't going to get us to heaven, and that the only faith, that only our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross will. So then I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1, real fast. And we'll kind of be going through Hebrews today. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." You see, our faith has to have substance. Our faith has to, meaning that it has to be made up of something. There has to be evidence of our faith. So the answer to the question that I asked a few moments ago is, how do people really know that we have faith? How do people know that we have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of us? And the first point that I'm trying to make is, in order to be living out our faith, there has to be change. The person that we were before our salvation has to be something different than what we were. Because now that we have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and hopefully we are walking in it. And the faith part of the fruit of the Spirit is something that is produced when we're walking with the Lord. So when you make the decision to get saved, you're making a decision to serve the Lord for the rest of your life. And at the moment that you get saved, you might not fully understand that, the magnitude or the full meaning of what that means. What that decision means. So that's why you're not immediately just jumping into HBI or going to the mission field in some other country or, you know, teaching, somewhere. You see, your faith needs time to grow. You got to have time to exercise it. As a new believer in Christ, you may be asking yourself, like, how do I exercise my faith? What can I do to grow closer to the Lord? And the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, you can turn there if you want. But I've got it here and I can read it to you. Most of you should know it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, so in order for us to be growing our faith, we need to be actively hearing the words of God. We need to be investing time into that relationship that we've entered into. Just like when we marry our wife, you don't marry your significant other and just at that moment in time know everything there is to know about them. You have to spend time actively getting to know your spouse. You have to figure out what their interests are, things that they like. I mean, you know some, but as you guys grow and spend time together, there's just more and more and more you can learn about them. If you knew everything in the beginning right off, things would dry up pretty quickly. When me and Kendra got married, I didn't know everything there was to know about her. We had to figure that out about each other. With the dislikes that we had, the likes that we had, things, I had to do things that I was uncomfortable doing. Coming to church wasn't something that was at the top of my priority list. The people that I hung out with, you know, I felt like they were important to me, and my relationship with my wife had to be molded to where she was the priority. And our walk with the Lord should kind of resemble that. We should be actively pursuing getting to know him more, getting to grow closer to him. Quite frankly, this is likely why we see so many people fall away from the church, because they don't take the time to get to know the God that sent his son to die for their sins, for our sins. God only desires for us to get to know him, but he desires for there to be action in that relationship. He desires to see us actively trying to make changes in our life. He tells us this in James 1, verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You see, as Christians, it's easy to get complacent. We think we can live our lives with one foot in the world and then one foot in the church. Why do we do that? Because it's easy to get complacent. We become, as Corey said at camp, checkbox Christians. You know, I read my Bible every morning. You know, check. I got that box. I'm involved in the children's ministry. Check. I tithe. I'm at church for every function. You know, check, check. And we stay in this cycle for years and years and years and never really reaching our full potential for what God has for us in our lives. Because we're good. We're just doing the things. We're content in that. While on the other hand, when we aren't at church, we're indulging in the things of the world that please us. You see, when we get up in the morning, we have two decisions. We can either serve our flesh, or we can die to our flesh and live for God and work on building up our relationship and our faith in Him. When we are serving our flesh, then we are acting out all the things that it says in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, which we just read a moment ago. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It says in such like here, which is pretty broad. It leaves it open to, like, it's not just the things that are mentioned here. There is more, there's more to this list. So you might think that there's no sin in your life. You know, I'm going through it, and there's no sin in my life. You know, that we're dealing with, we're letting, and you need to ask yourself, or I guess pray that maybe God will reveal whatever it is that is stopping you from serving Him. We're letting the sin that we have, I guess, outside of church, outside of us checking all the boxes, we're letting that get in the way of us, like, truly serving God. It says in Romans 8:13, I've got it here, and you can turn there if you want, but, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The second point that I'm trying to make is there needs to not only be visible change in our lives by the actions that we're doing, but we also have to change in the things that we value, the things that we desire in order to truly be living out our faith. When serving the Lord, it's easy to get complacent, but you must not forget that you committed to this relationship for life. Some of you have been going faithful for a long time. Some of you guys have been going faithful for longer than I've been alive. And I'm not trying to age anybody, so I'm sorry. But just like in an actual marriage, when you get past that honeymoon phase, things, you got to find new ways to, like, rekindle that fire, to new ways to build up that energy that you had when as a baby Christian. When we were at camp a week or so ago, one of the counselors had mentioned in one of our counseling sessions the energy and the fire that they were noticing in all the kids. I mean, just like when we do it every year, all the kids are on fire. Corey's bringing the message, and it's awesome. And kids are, you can just see the conviction and the emotions in them working. And the counselor's like, man, I wish I could just keep that energy. Just keep this fire that they have and bottle it up. And then when we get home, you know, and that starts to fade, and you can see these guys, you know, starting to forget the things, or the world starts to weigh back in on them, that we can just open it up and let it out and put it back into them. And that's why we do things here, like the men's breakfast and the Bible conference and the men's retreat and the women's retreat, is to reignite that fire. We got to be continually seeking growth in our walks. We got to be looking for that next right thing that God would have for us. We must not get complacent, and we must always be seeking to grow our faith in the Lord. If you would, Hebrews, look at Hebrews 11, if you save the place there, verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. I pray that we all desire to have a testimony like Enoch. I pray we all desire to please God like he did. Because that's what God wants from us. Colossians 3, verses 3 through 4 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Christ must be the center of everything that we do. Like I said a minute ago, the world comes at us fast. It's always throwing things at us to just throw us off. When we're not here and when we're not with each other, it's easy to just, the world just does what it can to just try to attack you, I guess, to beat your spirit down. And we must be making Christ the center of everything that we are doing. He must be what we base our faith in. If Christ is the center of our work, Christ is the center of our work life. Yeah, if he's the center of our work life and our home life, and he's the center of whatever consumes most of our time, I said if, it is. Like, is Christ the center of all of these things for us? He needs to be. We can look at Hebrews 11:6, which is just past that. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What does it mean to be diligent? To be diligent is when someone works hard at something that they desire to grow in. They're careful or they're persistent to accomplish that task. When I think of people who are diligent, I think of athletes. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Like Mahomes and all the athletes you see on TV. I think of my son, someone who's working hard to achieve a goal that he has set for himself. And I would wager to bet that we all have something in our lives that we work at diligently. Maybe that's a fishing hobby, personal fitness, career advancements, you name it. I'm sure we could all think of something that we diligently work at. But are we diligently seeking God? How many of us can pick up our phones at the end of the day and look at the time that we've spent on them? And you can see most of our phones keep an hour count and can say that they diligently spent more time seeking God than they did on Facebook or games or watching reels or YouTube or whatever it is. We diligently fill in the blank, but we should be prioritizing that diligence towards God. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I don't know about you guys, but I want a bounty of rewards for my diligence. The last point I'm trying to make is that we should live our lives with a faith that diligently seeks to please God. Just turn over one more page to Hebrews 12 and verse 2. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We don't live for ourselves here. We live for him. The Lord Jesus Christ is worth those that he died for. Our faith must show that appreciation, and I pray that it does. To be honest, when Brady asked me to teach here today, I figured surely I had something more important going on. Not more important, but something on the schedule. And then I realized I didn't. I was thinking of maybe something else that might be going on. I guess kind of looking for an excuse. And then I started to ask myself, you know, like, you couldn't find anybody else more qualified? What could I possibly give to people that I look up to here? And then I sat in church that Sunday, and I look at the piano, and it was reminded of our theme for the year. And it says, Luke 9:62, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You see, opportunities like this, for me, this is what I look for, to grow. A chance to exercise my faith, the fruit of my faith. And how could I have my hand on the plow and be looking back at the things that I think might not that think that I might not have a reason to stand up here and share what God is showing me to you guys. Which I shouldn't have. I should desire to grow. So I just want to end with saying, don't be like me in that moment, fellas. Be diligent for the Lord. Be diligent for the plan that He has for you. And that's it. That's all I got. All right.